how well do you really know the people that live in your street? How well do you really know the people that live in your street? Do you know their names? What they do for a living? What the children's names are? Do you know anything about their desires and their dreams? How well do you really know all the people that live in your house? All the people, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. Maybe you have a boarder or a housemate that you don't really know that well. How well do you really know all the people living inside of you? What did I just say? How well do you really know everyone who is inside of you? And what I'm referring to here is the Holy Spirit. Because as Christians, we believe that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us when we give our lives to Jesus. And so I'm asking you now, how well do you really know the Holy Spirit? Well, he lives inside you. Do you know him that well? And so, Peter says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Corinthians, Paul writes, do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? So I'm just going to ask three questions today. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? Second of all, why is he living inside of you? And third of all, what are we going to do now that we know who and why? So first of all, let's start with who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the question is, who is he? Not who is, what is he, but who is he? Who is the Holy Spirit? He is not just some mystical mist or some power of God. He is a he. He goes by many names. There's the old-fashioned name, the Holy Ghost. Other names from the Bible, the Spirit, or the Spirit of Truth, or the Comforter, or the Helper. Okay, now let's break down the name, Holy Spirit. Okay, so he is a spirit. We don't necessarily see him all the time. He's unseen. We don't hear his audible voice all the time. But we hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But he is a spirit. So there is some mystery there. Okay. Now, he's also holy. Holy. Okay. Now we know with holiness, words spring to mind like perfect and righteous and pure. You know, and we even know Jesus even said about the Holy Spirit, just to put in the perspective of this holiness, that we need to give the Holy Spirit some reverence. He says, and so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. I'm just testing that. No, it doesn't work, Sue. Okay. Now, the context of that is that the Pharisees didn't believe that Jesus was performing his miracles by the Holy Spirit. And so saying, well, okay, you can discredit me, but don't you dare discredit the Holy Spirit. They were claiming that Jesus was getting his miracles from the prince of demons. And Jesus was saying, that is blasphemy. And if you reject the Holy Spirit, then that is very serious. So we've got to treat the Holy Spirit with great reverence. And we also know in Revelation that only God is holy. Maybe that's a hint there, with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Okay, now we know that the Holy Spirit has been sent by the Father and Son for a special mission. Okay, a special mission, and we're going to get to that further. But even though we know of this happening in Acts, especially with the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, The Holy Spirit is not introduced just in the New Testament. He is all throughout the Bible. More than 80 times mentioned in the Old Testament. He's in the first chapter of the Bible and the last chapter of the Bible. He's there all along. At the very beginning, the second verse of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters of the deep as the world is being created. He was there in the beginning. And then we see the work of the Holy Spirit throughout the whole Bible. He comes upon kings and judges and prophets for a specific task, to give them power and specific reasons. And then we see in Jesus' ministry, he's heavily involved in Jesus' ministry. First of all, he conceives Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. Then he comes down in Jesus' baptism. And we read in Jesus' baptism, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was being baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son whom I love, with you I am well pleased. And so we see here, God the Father, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit all in the one place. Three distinct persons. Now, then the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus and he is effective in his ministry. He gives him miracles and he authenticates Jesus' ministry. He then authenticates the ministry of the church by empowering the apostles with the Holy Spirit. And they performed amazing miracles as recorded in the New Testament. And then in the last chapter of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Absolutely critical to understand. The Holy Spirit and the bride are waiting for Jesus' return. Well, who's the bride? Who's the bride? What's this, the Holy Spirit and the bride? The bride is the church. The church. That is all of us. Every person who has ever accepted the Holy Spirit throughout the whole of history, in all their glory, and all of us, we are the church. And we are, as a symbol in the Bible, we are the bride waiting to meet our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, in person. And the Holy Spirit is with us and saying, come, Lord Jesus. We're looking forward to Jesus' return. Okay, and now what we need to understand about the Holy Spirit is also very critical to the Trinity. Now, the Trinity, I'm not going to go through, I can't talk about it all, and that's a story for another day, is all the ins and outs of the Trinity and proving everything about that too. But what we need to know is the Holy Spirit is God. There is only one God, don't get me wrong. There's not three gods, there's only one God. But what we need to understand is, in God's beauty and complexity, as it interweaves throughout the scriptures, we find out that God is in three persons. The Holy Spirit, Jesus the Son of God, and God the Father. And all parts of the Spirit, all parts of God are equal. Now we read in Matthew 28:19. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, if Jesus said, it would be completely inappropriate if Jesus said, now go out and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and, you know, John the Baptist. You know, it would be completely inappropriate because Holy Spirit is put in there with the God the Father and Jesus Christ. We know he is also part of the Godhead. Okay, I want to go to the next question. We've talked a little bit about who is the Holy Spirit. Now the question is, why is the Holy Spirit living inside of you? And we're going to read a passage that Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. And it's in John 16:7-15. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, in regard to sin because men do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and regard to judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Next. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Okay, can we go back to the first part? I've highlighted in blue so I can remember my sermon. Okay, so the first point is for your good. How interesting. Jesus says, how amazing it would be to have Jesus here in bodily form with us today. We would be over the moon. But Jesus says, it's going to be great. You think you're like me? Wait till you see the next guy. You know, how good it is that I am going to the Father because I am now going to send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. So, wouldn't it be great to have the Holy Spirit here today? Well, he is here today. He lives inside of you. And he is called the Counselor. Why is he called the Counselor? Well, the Counselor is quiet. He listens. He guides. He prompts. He asks questions. He is kind and patient and considerate, and he normally costs $50 an hour plus GST. But the Holy Spirit is within us, the Counselor. He is free. The price has been paid by the Son so that the Holy Spirit can be with us to guide us through life. He convicts the world. One of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin. It comes in two parts. The first part is to bring you to Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes down to you. He chooses you, and then he comes on you and he convicts you of your sin so that you can ask for forgiveness and be forgiven and receive your salvation. That's part of it. The other part is once he lives inside of you, ongoingly, day to day, he will convict you of your sin because he wants to make you holy, refine as fire. He wants to make you holy day by day. He wants to make you more like Jesus, more lovable. And then we'll skip to the next part. We'll see the next blue bit. It says, guide you into all truth. The other role of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into all truth. First of all, he chooses you, he comes to you, and he reveals the truth of the gospel to you, and then you accept it with gladness. And then he lives inside of you, and day by day he slowly reveals more truth to you. The Holy Spirit has inspired the Word of God through men. As you read the Word of God, you are reading the words of the Holy Spirit. As you listen to the prompting of your heart, you are listening to the Holy Spirit. And it says there, he will not speak on his own. That's because he and the Father have the same will and the same thoughts. They are one together. He does not go off and do his own thing. He is in line with the will of the Father and of the Son. And he's endeavouring to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And the seventh thing from this verse I'd like to say is it becomes clear as you read this that the servant role of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it clear there? Just like Jesus had a servant role for us, the Holy Spirit again has a servant role. Servant-like role, I'll say. Wow, I'm thirsty. Is this water safe to drink? Okay, too late. Okay, so we're going to read just Ephesians 1:13, actually, going on talking about the truth there. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Okay, who's ever played the game Seen It? Ever heard of the game Seen It? It's a movie trivia game. And part of the game, it has a DVD. You watch a short scene from a movie and you have to pay attention to the details. But the thing is, it always suckers you in. You become drawn into the action of the event or the comedy of the event, and you forget to pay attention to the details. And then the question comes up, what colour was Steve Martin's tie? Oh, I don't know. Okay, now I'm going to do the same thing. Thank you very much. I'm normally white with one, two sugars. Okay, so what we're going to do is read a story from the Genesis, actually. And so if you've got Bibles, I don't have this one on the screen. Busy preparing for a family birthday party. So what we're going to do is read from Genesis. The reference is up there, though. Good. Genesis 24. And we're going to read a story. And I want you to pay attention to the details. Okay? All right. Now, this is a story about Abraham's son Isaac. Now, we're just going to read it. Okay. Right. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me into this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country that you came from?" "Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offsprings I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master, Abraham, and swore on oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down before the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women go to draw water. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and that she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever laid with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please, give me a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. And she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring, weighing a becker, and two gold bracelets, weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, born to Nahor. And she added, we have plenty of straw and fodder as well as room for you to spend the night. Then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on this journey to the house of my father's relatives. Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother named Laban, and he hurried out to the man at the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelet on his sister's arm, and had heard Rebekah tell what the man said to her, he went out to the man and found him standing by the camels near the spring. Come, you who are blessed by the Lord, he said. Why are you standing out here? I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. So the man went to the house, and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought for the camels, and the water for him and his men to wash their feet. Then food was set before him, but he said, I will not eat until I've told you what I have to say. Then tell us, Laban said. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, manservants and maidservants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife Sarah has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and said, you must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whom land I live, but go to my father's house and to my clan and get a wife for my son. Okay, then I'm going to skip a little bit there because he repeats the story we've just read. And then 45, before I finished praying in my heart, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water. And I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll water your camels too. So I drank and she watered the camels also. I asked her, whose daughter of you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him. Then I put the ring in my nose and the bracelet on her arms, and I bowed down and worshipped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the daughters of my master's brothers for his son. Verse 49. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to the one way or the other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. When Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servant brought out gold and silvery jewelry and articles of clothing and gave him to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, send me on my way to my master. But her brother and her master replied, let the girl remain with us 10 days or so, that you may go. Sounds a fair request. But he said to them, do not detain me. Now that the Lord has granted success to my journey, send me on my way so I may go to my master. Then they said, let's call the girl and ask about it. So they called Rebekah and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies. Then Rebekah and her maids got ready and mounted their camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer-lahai-rohi, for he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? He is my master, the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of her mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is a beautiful love story. Now, I've read all the details so we can talk about it. This is a divine chapter of the Bible. It is so incredible that it knocks my socks off. It really is profound. Because this story, you may think it just a story and rather just a little love story in the Bible there. The purpose of this story is to teach you why the Holy Spirit is here living inside of you. What a profound statement. But what we know about the Old Testament is that it's his story. Jesus is concealed in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. As Costa always says, this is history, his story. It's about Jesus. And as we hear about when Jesus came back from the dead, he walked with two disciples on a long journey to Emmaus one day. And they did not recognize him at all. And he explained to them everything about the scriptures concerning himself. And we read the verse. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? This may have been something that Jesus shared on the road. We do not know. But this story is symbolic of another story. First of all, we have a father, Abraham, the father of many nations. He had just two chapters before been asked by God to take his only son, the son of promise, to the top of a mountain to sacrifice him there. And the mountain was Mount Moriah. And we find out later that this is where God sent his only son to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And so Abraham in his obedience was doing something because he was acting out something, a symbolism, a divine symbolism. And so Abraham, the father of many nations, and now he wants to find a bride for his son. But he does not want his son to do it. He wants to send his chief servant to do the task. It is important that his son stay where he is while he sends a chief servant to find a bride. And Isaac, he is, as we know, Abraham is a type of God the Father. Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ. When he was born, it was a miracle. God had to intervene. His parents were very old, and he was the son of promise. He willingly allowed his father to tie him up to sacrifice him on that mountain. But an angel intervened, and he did not sacrifice his son. And so there's a symbolism there of resurrection. His son was spared. And we know of Isaac. He is waiting for the chief servant to find a bride for him. Eliezer, the chief servant. His name is not mentioned in the story, but we know from chapters past that the chief servant who was going to receive all of God's inheritance, Abraham's inheritance, his name was Eliezer. And Eliezer means the helper of God, a divine helper. And he goes out to find a bride. And when he finds a bride, he gives her many gifts. The gifts of the Spirit. The spiritual gifts. And he tells her about, my son, the son, he is a worthy groom. Oh, you will love him. He is splendid and he has built himself up a great amount of wealth. And he does not want anyone else but one of his relatives. And then we see the beautiful analogy of Rebecca, and she is a type of the church. She is the bride. The virgin bride. She was given gifts. A gift of gold, a gift of silver, a gift of clothes. Clothes representing righteousness, gold representing things of the kingdom, silver represents redemption. And she was told to go and marry a man she had never seen with her own eyes. And she was given the decision and she said, yes, I will go. And she even went up and left straight away. There was no time for dilly-dallying. She had to leave immediately. And so, she did. And we read from the verses in Thessalonians. Regarding you, you are the bride of Christ. You are Rebecca. God chose you from the beginning to be saved by the sanctifying Spirit and by faith in the truth. And in Ephesians, just as he chose in us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And now I'm quoting from a Bible teacher named David Wilkerson. Walking in the Spirit is simply allowing the Holy Spirit to do in us what God sent him to do. You can't allow him to do that work until you understand why God sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, sometimes we get confused about his purpose. We think it's about supernatural gifts and amazing displays of power. But really, we know the Holy Spirit's purpose, the eternal purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to bring us home to Jesus Christ as his eternal, spotless bride. This is the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit, and it is important for you to understand this truth so that the Holy Spirit can work daily in your life. This is it. It is to make you more holy, to make you more lovable, to teach you the truth day by day, to convict you of your sin, for you to go on a journey with the Holy Spirit, to one day in hope see Jesus face to face. The beautiful name of Jesus Christ, he is your groom, as it is in the end of the Bible. The last thing the Bible ends on, it must be important, the Holy Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come. So, what are you then going to do? What can you do now that you know who and why? Well, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and he reveals the gospel of the truth, and he convicts you of your sin, and you realize you need your salvation, do not dilly-dally. Accept the Holy Spirit immediately and go with him on this journey to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Go immediately. When you hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit, when he is saying, let's go on this journey to meet your groom. Let us go. Please, I implore you, let him into your heart that he may be inside of you, that you may have the eternal salvation, that you could be part of the holy and eternal bride of Christ. And if you have accepted him, make sure that day by day you are concentrating on what the Holy Spirit needs to do with you to make you more holy, as we heard the beautifully sung song, Refiner's Fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will. Do not be confused about the role of the Holy Spirit. It is to make you ready to meet your Saviour. And that is the Holy Spirit's role. And I pray that you will let him do what he has to do. You will not dilly-dally. You will go on the journey with him. And one day you will meet your groom and you will not regret. I'm done.